Well, it's been a blessed morning already, and appreciated all the songs that were sung this morning. We cannot praise the Lord too much. We'll never go wrong in just giving God glory and praise and thanks. And we had a lot of that this morning already in our singing and in what has been taught. This morning I'd like to share just some thoughts that I found in my meditation this morning that I trust will bless you as well. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we will start reading at verse 6. As we read this, we want to notice some of the principles, the basic principles that the Apostle Paul laid out here in this letter to Timothy. And could we stand for the reading of the word this morning? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith, have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, all, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, wherein whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, and avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. You may be seated. All right, the Apostle Paul concludes this letter to Timothy with some very practical instruction. I don't know how much that Timothy actually needed this teaching, but Paul was actually saying, these are the things that you need to teach. You need to be teaching others these principles, and was giving him that charge and asking him to be faithful to it. But this one in verse 6 here, beginning where we started to read, was where he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And how far do we take that? Does that mean that we just should be content with everything that we have just the way it is, and no changes, no improvements, no new clothes, no new cars, new houses or whatever? Just be content with where you're at and what you're doing. I think he's addressing here a heart condition, attitude of the heart, that just desires more and more and more and is never satisfied. That is the way of the world. They have no boundaries. But we as Christians do have boundaries. They're boundaries that we will not violate or cross over when it comes to our possessions and our acquiring things and all of that. You know, we don't have to have the best either. When it comes to what we buy, acquire, and possess, or eat, or whatever, that there is a consistency, and that we do not violate Bible principles. But all of us have things that wear out, need to be replaced, things that can be improved, and reasons for doing them. But let's not do it on the and compromise God's principles at the same time. And he brings that up as we go on down. He says, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Jesus taught there in Matthew chapter 6 and other places in the Gospels that we should not worry about these things, but we should, first of all, lay up our treasures in heaven. And the things that are eternal are the things that count. And we see that focus here in this last chapter of 1 Timothy. Keep eternity in focus. That is the most important. And do not allow the things of this world compromise our opportunities to make sure that our calling and election is sure. In verse 9, it says, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, you don't have to be rich in order to desire to be rich. Your pockets can be totally empty, and you can be guilty of this, of violating this principle that the Apostle Paul has laid out here. And he uses some very graphic language here when he says that they have, it brings them into a snare, and foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And when men drown, it's because they're in over their head. And sometimes, you know, we are tempted because we want what we want and we want it now and we think we have it all figured out, that we go in over our head with debt, or just simply in acquiring of things. Maybe we're hoarders or whatever. But this description of drowning men, going in over their heads, and then suffering the results of it. We have credit cards today that have high credit limits, and the credit card companies are putting all kinds of tempting opportunities to us through the mail and through electronic means, and trying to get us to do things that supposedly are supposed to save us money, but in the end cost. And they're just hoping that you get in over your head so that you can't make your payment, because then interest goes up to 29% to 30%. And hey, they're really, plus there's late charges and fees of all kinds, because human nature is buy now, pay later. And the same is true for those who do not have their eyes on eternity and have a proper focus on eternal things. We can enjoy the pleasures of sin now, but we will pay later. And so this is a principle that is evident here in back further in verse 17. Says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So it's a matter of, it's a faith issue, it's a trust issue, that they do not trust in uncertain riches, but that we are, if the Lord has blessed us, then we're ready to and willing to distribute to those who are in need. And then he says, the love of money is the root of all evil, for while some covered it after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, people go into bankruptcy. They have spent beyond their means. They are in over their head. They are drowning financially. And there's no hope for the future unless they can just file bankruptcy and start over again. But generally, when somebody does that, there are losers. And it's those to whom the money was owed. But legally, the one who has made the debt is often favored. Simply partly because how do you squeeze blood out of a turnip? And if there's no money there, I personally have, back in the mid-90s, in about a year's time or a little over a year, I had two accounts. Both of them were over $25,000, who declared bankruptcy, and that was it. Not a penny, not a dime ever came from them. And in those times, we must exercise Christian principles. And part of that is forgiveness. And part of that is to continue to respect and to love those who have treated us that way. And the one man was milking like 600 cows, a large dairy operation. And he lost it all because of bankruptcy. He was in over his head. So occasionally I do meet him. I haven't for quite a while now. But in every case when I meet him, he says, I'm a Christian too, and I will pay you if, you know, when I can. I said, you know, it's in the past. Don't worry about it. If you can, that's fine. But I want you to know that I'm not holding it against you, and that it's not difficult for me to forgive and to meet you and to see you. I'm not laying awake at night about this. Just an example of what happens. You know, I think this man, even though he claimed to be a Christian, there were some compromises that took place that brought him to the place where he was, where he could not pay his debts. But then he goes to the positive and he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And, you know, when we get ourselves into situations like this, or when we're tempted to, that's where the red flag really needs to go up, is at the time of our temptation. We say, you know, how am I going to pay for this? Or are we just going to go ahead and say, well, I'll do it. I'll worry about how I'm going to pay for it later. But, and so it becomes a faith issue. He says, fight the good fight of faith in verse 12. And it becomes a faith issue. If we violate the principle of contentment and getting ourselves in over our heads simply because we want more and more, we want to keep up with our neighbors or whatever, then it is a compromise of faith. Can God really take care of me? Will he take care of me, even if I don't stick my neck out and go in over my head? It's a lack of, it becomes a faith issue. And he says then, lay hold on eternal life. And he's just saying the most important is to not get ourselves into a compromising position where we compromise our hope of heaven. In verse 14, it says, he's giving Timothy this charge in verse 13 in the sight of God, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the commandment? You know, I struggled a little bit over that. What commandment is he talking about? He says this commandment, and so it's evidently something that he is addressing or has addressed in this letter. And I believe it goes back again to our godliness with contentment and to not compromise principle for the sake of prosperity. And he says, to do it until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to glorify the Lord. And it's what I appreciate about our morning worship so far, that the Lord was glorified, and we can never go wrong in glorifying the Lord. My father-in-law often said that you can never give God too much glory. You can never go wrong in glorifying the Lord. And then he concludes here by charging them that are rich that they also are then not trusting in those things, but are willing to liberally share them, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. In other words, their money, their heart, their money doesn't have their heart. It's not something that we will cling to at all costs. I'm reminded of, we visited the city of Pompeii a number of years ago in Italy. And you know the story about Pompeii. It was totally covered up with ashes from a volcano, and all the inhabitants were killed. In one house, there was, and these people were frozen in time in the position that they were in when this volcano erupted, and they were fleeing the house, and the man's hands were both were full of money. He was clutching his money. He had grabbed his money, the last thing, and they were fleeing the house. The wife was all bejeweled and bedecked with her jewelry, and it was obviously a rich household. But they were frozen in time right there. The money was still in his hands. And that was where his heart was, obviously. But he says here, be willing to be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, that means to share, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Here that comes again. The priority is eternal life. And that should be our focus in daily life, in our homes, in our business, wherever we are and whatever we are doing and what we're representing, is a focus on the eternal, that which will not pass away, laying up our treasures in heaven where moth and rust and thieves have no access to it. And so may God help us there to take these words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, to take them personal for ourselves. He's saying, teach these things. And so it passed right on down to us. Shall we kneel in prayer?